I can't remember this, like, Louisville. It, like, spells it out phonetically. Yeah. Or Louisville.
I think it's Louisville.
Louisville.
Welcome to the fifth episode of the RVA Ram News VCU Basketball Podcast. I'm Ross Catro.
I'm Aaron Williams.
And this, the last episode of 2013, we're going to talk about the Virginia Tech utter domination, Boston College, maybe half an utter domination. We're going to do something a little bit different for player grades. We'll do some trivia, and then we'll look forward to Stony Brook. Did I get everything?
Sounds right.
Sound good? All right. Do you want to start with Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I'll talk about that game forever.
So this was the final game of the Governor's Commonwealth Cup Classic Holiday.
Governor's Holiday Hoops Classic.
There it is. And this was the first time the two teams had met since a million years ago when they were both in the Metro.
96, okay. I believe. So, you know, entering the game, I thought it was going to be close. VCU hadn't exactly been inspiring the most confidence. And I watched Tech. Tech looked pretty good. They have a lot of good shooters, but VCU played their best all-around game and pretty much dominated them in every way possible. The turnovers, you know, just forcing turnovers left and right. Melvin Johnson was scoring at will. And the really exciting thing for me watching it was how good VCU's half-court defense looked. It seemed like in the first half, they ended up hitting, I think, 9 of 23s, which is not what VCU wants, but in the first half, Drew hit those couple of three-pointers, and then they couldn't get anything from range, and it seemed like every single time they drive towards the rim, I've never seen VCU's defense in the paint like that ever before. I mean, just they couldn't get an open look. So that was really exciting. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, I mean, Melvin Johnson does his first 7 three-pointers, so 19 points in 8 minutes in the first half. So.
And he ended up with
27.
And 8 three-pointers for the game, right?
Right, 8 of 13.
And he was... Coach Smart told him that he could shoot for Troy Daniels' record. Is that right?
Yeah, he told him that. He said, hey, let's go out and get the record. But Melvin Johnson ended up only taking 13 attempts, where Troy Daniels, when he hit 11, you took 20 attempts. And some of those attempts were just... East Tennessee State was trying to, like, just do anything to stop Troy Daniels. He'd be like, that's fine, I'll just shoot jump shots from half court and drain them.
Yeah, it's worth going to watch that video, that YouTube of all the...
All 11, yeah.
I try to watch that, like, once a month. It just makes me feel
nice.
Puts
a smile on my face.
I do love those where he just basically steps across half court. It's like, okay, I'll shoot it from here.
You know, Eastern Tennessee State basically had to start full court pressure, but for all the wrong reasons.
What else about Tech? It was hard for me to watch as a Tech fan. I didn't know how to feel. I think people asked me going into it, who was I going to root for? And I think I told everyone VCU. But it was still tough to and like not great for the Commonwealth either to see just such an uncompetitive basketball game.
It's been a bad couple of weeks for the Commonwealth outside of VCU. And it was one of those games where VCU was down 6-0. Then they go on a 31-0 run. So when they were down 6-0, I was gone. Drellity was out running around screens. He hit those three-pointers. I was like, this is my nightmare. And then VCU scored 31 straight points. And Virginia Tech, I think, never recovered from that.
Yeah.
You could just tell that they were, like, drained from that. And one of the really... Another good thing about it was it got to halftime. They're up 20. I was like, you know, Tech's gonna come out and hit some three-pointers. And like many of others, VCU's other dominant starts, this game's to be closer than we want it to be. But VCU ended up outscoring them 10 points in the second half, and just it was a buzzer to tip off the buzzer domination, which is really nice.
Yeah, it was hard to watch as a hockey fan. It reminded me of last year. I think when Tech played West Virginia, they were so hot to start last year, if you remember.
Oh yeah,
and they
seven
beat
in
I think
row.
And they beat Oklahoma State
with Marcus Smart. Yeah,
and. Things were looking good, and then they lost to West Virginia, and just everything kind of fell.
Wheels fell off the bus,
and it just really feels like that's happening to Tech again. They lost to UNC Greensboro on Saturday.
That definitely didn't help VCU at all.
So I don't know what's going on over there. It's rough. I'm a guy who likes Coach James Johnson, but like we'll see. He's He's got a hard job in front of him, I think. But it's not the Virginia Tech basketball podcast. How about I think Redick played pretty well.
Yeah, Redick had a great game,
which is cool.
He's had two good games in a row. Especially on the defensive end, you know. And they were getting contributions from everyone. Like Jared Guest came in, like blocked a shot. Terrence Shannon played great defense. Malachi Cox played great defense. I mean, the defense in the paint was as good as you could expect it to be. If they play games like that, I think they can beat almost a team in the country.
Yeah. And on our guest foul watch, he played 12 minutes and only picked up a foul.
I know.
So maybe he's turned the corner.
I'm optimistic. Terrence Shannon, on the other hand, I think is... Maybe he's the new foul culprit.
Is he?
Yeah. But not quite as dramatically as Jared Guest. Do you want to move on to the Boston College game?
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice way to compare the defense.
Yeah.
It was an ugly first half against Boston College.
Yeah.
VCU's defense looked really good against a very, very high-powered offense. But they only scored 22 points, and it was really, really tough to watch. And then in the second half, they come out and score 47 points. And it's one of those games where it was like, man, this is tough to watch. It was like tied. Boston College led like 17-16. And then you blink for a second and all of a sudden it's a blowout.
Yeah. The final score is definitely not representative of how that first half felt.
No, well, I mean, VCU ended up being up more than the points they scored in the first half.
Right.
They scored 22 first half points and they ended up being up 27 points at one point.
Yeah.
So, you know, but by that point, I don't think people were that excited. After that, sometimes when they start blowing out teams like that, people get really excited, and I didn't feel that. It was more like, oh, that first half was that painful to watch.
Yeah, so I want to know, one thing I was really interested about for this Boston College game is how VCU would respond after having such a dominant Virginia Tech game. And what we wanted to see was them become, because we were missing this, the punch you in the face, kind of come out of the locker room from the first minute and start to dominate so that the rest of Havoc can kind of do its job.
Yeah.
And we were looking at, when we saw that against Virginia Tech, like probably the best we've seen it in many, many games. And
since Akron.
Yeah, since Akron.
Or Illinois State. That they opened the season really strong against Illinois State.
One of those teams might be better than the other. But so we wanted to see how they would do against Boston College. And they came out slow again in the first half. Tell me your thoughts.
Slow on offense.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense was incredible. You're talking about a team that's ranked 30th in offense and offensive efficiency on KenPom.com, and they score 17 first half points. And it wasn't just turnovers. It was just great defense. Coach Smart said it was Briante Weber's best defensive game of his entire career. Even though he only had 3 steals, I mean, it's fool's gold sometimes to be like, man, he had 10 steals, it's the best defensive game. I mean, Olivier Hanlon is a great, great scorer, and he could do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really exciting to see. And they were getting good looks. I mean, Melvin Johnson had a bunch of great looks from 3-point range, and the shots just weren't falling. So it was tough to watch, but it wasn't like this team didn't know how to play offense at all.
Right. So you would not put it in the same category as the previous games this season where they started slow, the Rams?
No, because the defense was there, and it starts with defense for them, and they looked good on offense. They mostly looked good on offense. I think there was one really painful Briante Weber 3-pointer. Maybe I'm just making that up. But no, it didn't concern me.
Okay,
that's not concerning.
I saw this this little graph or image tweeted by, I think, Mike Litos, or I think so, or Scott Day, about the cumulative effect of Havoc.
Scott Day, yeah.
Okay.
25 minutes and 15 minutes.
Yeah. So, and it's basically like in the first 25 minutes, VCU opponents fare much better than the final 15 minutes. He's attributing it to the cumulative effects of Havoc. And I think based on what opposing coaches have said, that it's just tough and it wears you out. You just can't play as well in the final 15 minutes. Is that true? I mean, it's true. It's obviously true. But if I wonder this season, I'm still like stuck on slow starts. And I think these stats would just back up slow starts and lack of...
Oh, you're saying instead of... But I don't know. Because I feel like a lot of those slow starts had more to do with the VCU's inability to score than necessarily their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that was talking just about defense.
Yep.
And the crazy thing I find about that is that a couple times this season, especially in that Boston College game, in the last couple of minutes, VCU puts in their C team or whatever, and the other team goes on like a little run. So I think that's like really dramatic when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the slow starts, I think they could be better about it, but I think that's more of an offensive thing than a defensive thing.
Okay. So I'm excited for the beginning of A-10 season.
I think we all are, yeah.
And we'll see. I think these last two games have been promising in the tune-up to the A-10 season.
Absolutely. And they've got one more good game that's going to... It's going to be a good barometer of where they are.
Mm-hmm. I had one more thing to say about Boston College. Do you have anything else you wanted to add? Okay. So Virginia Tech is 1-0, I think, in the ACC, and VCU is 3-1, with their only ACC loss coming to Florida State. So VCU has beaten UVA, Virginia Tech, and Boston College.
Yeah, you said you did.
Yeah. Will Virginia Tech win three ACC games this season?
That's fun. Oof. They've already got one. They need two more.
Yeah.
I don't know. VCU, you know, didn't play the best ACC teams. You got to figure Tech can steal a couple, but it's going to be... I think they're going to finish with three.
Okay.
Which is better than my preseason prediction of one.
I think it's interesting, man. Like, you think that... Not that the ACC would ever be interested in adding a basketball-only school. Maybe they would. I don't know. But I think, especially this year and the last couple of years, VCU stacks up well in the ACC and could compete in the ACC. And it's nice to get... Like, now you can put that on paper. Like, you can see that, like, yeah, VCU would not be the last-place team in the ACC.
No, not by any means.
I think some people would like to say that, though. Some ACC folks.
Yeah, but you got to... VCU didn't play the toughest ACC teams by any stretch. I mean, Boston College was supposed to be good, and they've underperformed woefully. Now UVA is starting to look like a shell of what they could have been or what they should be. You know, they got to start thinking NCAA tournament, I think. And Florida State, they're having a really good season. That's they're going to do really well. And then Tech, you know, how could VCU hang in a 16-game schedule with... They play 16 or 18. You know, 18-game schedule playing Duke and UNC in the same week. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. All right. You want to move on to slightly different player grades? Or do you want to do trivia first?
Let's do the trivia. All
right. This is really three trivia questions and an interesting stat that I wanted to talk about that I couldn't come up with a trivia question for. And I think you'll probably know some of these, which I always like to say to get you going, get you excited for this. So VCU held Boston College to 17 first-half points. When was the last time the Rams held an opponent to under 20 in the first half? I think you've already even said
under
it.
20. Western Kentucky?
No. It's Duquesne, actually.
That's like one of the only games I didn't watch last year.
Yeah, so that was an away game at Duquesne, and the halftime score was 44-18. And that
Yeah, Akron scored 25 in the first half and 17 in the second half.
Yeah.
Duquesne, yeah, 18. Yeah, except for Duquesne scored 45 in the second half.
Right. I think that game... So what was the final score of that game was...
63...
To 90, I think,
90,
right?
90, yeah, so...
And if you'll remember that epic game in March in the Siegel Center against Butler, Butler had 21 points at the half. Yeah. So that was close and way more epic.
Yeah, in the Western Kentucky game, they held the Hilltoppers to 16 first-half points.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Right. Okay, question number two. Someone has dethroned Briante Weber as number one in steal percentage. Do you know who it is or who they play for?
Oh, is it the guy from UCLA?
No, but he's number three, I think.
Who is it?
It's... Fuquan Edwin from Seton Hall?
Yeah, no, I would not have guessed that.
his steal percentage is 7.72%.
How many minutes does he play?
That's a good question. I didn't look it up.
Which is crazy, because, I mean, Bronte Weber's having...
His steal percentage is 7.23, so...
But, oh, so you didn't look up how many minutes?
No, I didn't.
I can find it out. So he plays like 20 minutes a game.
So that's I mean, that's Briante Weber level last year, number of minutes per game. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of, that's a good steal percentage. It's kind of a lot.
It's a lot of steals, yeah.
All right, number three. VCU lead. This is weird. I don't know if you'll be able to. This is just a weird. I just enjoyed this stat. VCU leads the nation in total number of steals, steals per game, and steal percentage as a team this season. What is their next highest ranked stat nationally?
What statistical area?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Let me give you one tiny little hint.
KenPom or like in raw?
In raw. So it's not a percentage. That's a hint. It's just a total.
3-point attempts.
It's close. Their 3-point attempts is super high. But that's not it.
So it's not a turnover-based stat. Offensive rebounds, I don't know.
It is. Offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
They're 11 in offensive rebounds. They have 196. Morehead State leads the nation with 246.
Yeah, but you got to be, you know, here's the thing. Morehead State probably misses a ton of shots.
Yeah, so that's why I was asking you earlier for second chance points. I would love to see the correlation. Like, I want to know, like, okay, so VCU is great at offensive rebounding. I want to see what the results of that are. Do they capitalize on that? I think that would be an interesting stat to pull up. And I don't know that I know how to do that.
Because VCU's not as good at offensive rebounding this year as they have been in years past.
Yes, that's why I think it's a surprising stat.
And that probably has to do with Tremonti Redick.
Yeah.
If he posted stats, good game stats, and those bad games, like he was capable of, they'd probably be higher.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, offensive rebounding percentage is a much better statistic.
Yeah, totally.
Than offensive rebounds.
Yep. Okay, so I'll phrase this as a really easy trivia question, but we can just talk about it. Does VCU have more fouls per game in November or December? I played 7 games in both November and December.
November.
Yeah, that's super easy, right? But this was kind of fascinating and dramatic, I thought. So they were averaging 22.6 fouls per game in November, which is good currently. Like, if you look at the current number of fouls per game stats, that's 24 in the nation.
Bad.
Yeah, that's bad for 24 in the nation. Now, in December, they're averaging 16.3.
All right.
Which would drop them all the way down to 331.
That's really dramatic.
Super-duper dramatic. So, I don't know if that's... This year, I have a hard time telling how much of that is, like, ref-induced, how much of that is opposing team play style-induced, yeah, matchup-induced, and... But something like, you know, if you look at VCU's 3 losses, they've had more than 25 personal fouls in each of those 3 losses. And in the last couple of games, they've had, like, right around 15.
I think if you ask Coach Smart, he'd say they've been playing the same way the whole season. And it's variance and or inconsistency with the refereeing, even within games,
mm-hmm.
especially that Georgetown game. I think it's that. Some of it's probably matchups. I mean, you look at... I mean, Olivia Hamlin took a lot of free throws, but, you know, Boston College wasn't the type of team that... They're very perimeter-focused, but they weren't the type of team that, like, could drive and get a lot of fouls the same way Georgetown could with Smith Rivera. And the same thing can be said for Virginia Tech. You know, they want to shoot a lot of jump shots, and they weren't very good at getting to the free throw line, so it's probably a little bit of everything. I like to think they're improving. I mean, when it's that dramatic, it has to be a little bit of everything. But, yeah, I think they're better.
Cool. So that was 3 stats and three trivia questions and 1 interesting
Jared
stat.
Guest. It's all Jared Guest.
Yeah. He's cleaned up his game, man.
He's
I mean, that's probably like minus 3 fouls for the last 5 games.
Yeah, minus 3 fouls in 5 minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
Minus, you know, yeah, okay. I'll buy that.
All right. Let's do player grades.
I thought it'd be cool to come up with New Year's resolutions for all the players
mm-hmm.
since it is the 31st. So I kind of have some in my mind,
okay.
But let's just do it.
Yeah.
Let's start with Doug Brooks. I'll just start with a random one. I think he should just keep on being the wild card.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a part of this rotation going into the season, but it looks like maybe not so much. And I kind of just really like it when he comes into the games and goes crazy.
He's been hitting 3-pointers, man.
Yeah, he had a couple 3-pointers. Yeah, he's been hitting them. He's also been hitting the backboard. But he's fun to watch. Like, he gets in the game, and it's like, whoa, maybe someone is going to try and give Briante Weber a run for his money. It's the most, the craziest, most energetic guy. And I really like that about him. I think he should keep doing it.
That's a good resolution.
I'll contrast that with Jairus Lyles and say, pump the brakes, man. He's good. I mean, anyone that watched the Black and Gold scrimmage knows that he can play and he can help his team. He's outside the rotation, clearly. I mean, not necessarily this season, but it seems like every time he enters the game, he's so, like, dead set on, like, trying to do something big. So he had that, like, turnaround three-pointer, fadeaway three-pointer, you know, and he took, like, four shots in the first 60 seconds of his play against Boston College. So I'd say pump the brakes. You're fast. You're a good defender. You can handle the ball. Like, help your other teammates get shots. And,
yeah,
you know, that's a more sustainable.
All right, who's next?
Jordan Burgess. He's really good. You could see it all there,
mm-hmm.
but his offense isn't there. So I'd say keep shooting. I think he should keep driving too. That one game he went off. What was that? Was it Wofford when mm-hmm. he had 19 points or something like that? And I think it was like this little 2 foot jump stop move that he does in the lane a couple times. That was like I was like, man, this is going to be this year's Melvin. And he's shooting something like 25% from 2 point range this season. But I think that number is going to climb, and it can. But I don't want to see him lose any confidence in that, especially as his knee gets better. So
yeah.
I think he should keep driving, because that's something that his brother couldn't really do, and it's something that Jordan can do very well. So
he's still wearing the knee brace, right?
Yeah, he will. I don't know how long he will, but it's an intense thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen it up close.
It looks like, kind of like a robot a little bit.
Yeah. What's Javonte Redick? Consistency in approach.
Yeah.
Not necessarily an outcome, but an approach. I mean, we've seen these past couple games, like, he had like a quiet game. It was like he took Trayvon Graham's role there for a second. I mean, he had 14-8, and it wasn't like in your face 14-8, but I love his intensity. If he can keep doing that, then VC is going to be a different team. Another senior, how about Rob? Knock down shots, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's easy to forget sometimes, because he's so streaky, that this guy has scored 1,000 points at VCU.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's easy to forget that, and he's a senior, he's a starter, but he is streaky. And so I know he doesn't have any control over that, but VCU is a different... I mean, he's a starter, he's going to play 20 minutes a game. VCU is a different team when he goes 3 of 6 on 3-point range, as opposed to 0 of 6. And, you know, he needs to focus on the process, and I know that's a big focus of Coach Smart, is... He's process-oriented, not result-oriented, but at a certain point, he needs to start getting results on offense consistently.
Yeah.
But I've been saying that since 2000, you know, since he was a freshman, so who knows? Oh, no, you pick one.
Trey?
I don't... He doesn't need a New Year's resolution. He's so good. I mean... No one knew he was going to be this good, except for Coach Smart.
Yeah.
But he's doing an incredible job. His rebound numbers are up, and his shooting is so good, and he gets to the free throw line so much. I think his scoring average is up. I mean, if he keeps up at this pace, he's going to end up really, really high on the career scoring list. So he's the only person I won't give a New Year's resolution to. And that's really funny, because he's always the guy that he, like, doesn't care. It'll be like after like the EVA game, people would be like, hey man, like you just beat EVA, is this like special for you? And he's like, no, it's just another game. So this is how I imagine Trayvon Graham on New Year's Eve.
Right.
It's just another night.
Right.
Briante Weber. He's looked really good the past couple games, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that one game where he was forcing some shots up and stuff like that. But he's doing what he needs to do, and the more he plays alongside Jaquan Lewis, I think that's a really dynamic backcourt. And Briante Weber's better offensively when Jaquan's on the court, and I think Jaquan Lewis is getting better at defense.
Briante had 6 assists in the Boston College game, and only
one turnover. Yeah, it was a great game for him. He did everything that he needed to do. Like, he played really good defense and got a few steals, because they're not synonymous,
mm-hmm.
which used to be like his old thing. I mean, he wasn't even the best defender on the team last year, even though he had the most steals. And he, like, showed good poise at the point guard position. And when he does that, that's all you need from him. And hopefully he's figuring it out now because, you know, he still has 50 games at least left in his VCU career.
Yeah.
Closer to 60. So, you know, if he figures that out now, it's really exciting for the next 2 years. Mel, Vin Johnson.
Get back the Melvin.
Get back the Melvin. So, yeah, I was talking about this the other day. Like, I mean, it's really funny because that shot has been really inconsistent for him this season.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been really good from three-point range. Maybe not super consistent. But his ability to score using the backboard is incredible.
Yeah.
He had a couple times during that Boston College game where he'd be driving. He'd, like, it was almost like a Michael Jordan type move where it would be like his, like, in the air, like, double pump, freak. He's, like, fouled, spin layoff off the glass. And so I pose the question, is he who's a craftier scorer than him in VCU history?
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some good scorers, but none quite as crafty as him. So
if all his pieces come together in one game, or just a series game, it's gonna be awesome to watch.
Right, yeah, because I feel like he's capable of doing everything, but you're right. It, like, kind of comes and goes. Like, one game, he'll, like, won't be able to hit a three-pointer, but he'll be hitting the Melvin.
Yeah.
And then the next game, like, he'll be hitting three-pointers and scoring off the glass, but he'll take, like, four Melvins and none of them will go in.
Yeah.
They'll all run out. Yeah, he's going to be special. And he's not the best defender. You know, and that's their big focus with him, is getting his defense better. But he can score so quickly that he only needs to be on the court for 15 minutes a game to drop 20-plus points.
Yeah,
so
he's becoming that Troy Daniels replacement that you're looking for, that you were looking for.
Just, yeah,
on a team.
Scoring bunches. And they need that. I mean, look at the VCU's such a different team when they can score points.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, well, we didn't talk about this. I'm all over the place right now. But the Boston College game, the Virginia Tech game, their defense, they got all those turnovers, and I felt like it was a great game for the interceptors. That's like in the press. You know, the way they do it, you have, like, a guy guarding the ball, and then two guys sort of cheat off the next two offensive players,
mm-hmm.
and they try to intercept the passes. And, like, that was a great game for interceptors. It seemed like Virginia Tech couldn't pass the ball without VCU stealing it in the air. Whereas the Boston College game wasn't that many steals. It was just Boston College looked really uncomfortable and made tons of dumb mistakes. So the Boston College game, it didn't matter if they weren't scoring that much because they just sort of were in Boston College's head.
Yeah.
But the Virginia Tech game, they could score, which meant dead ball opportunities to set up the press. And, if VCU had missed a lot of shots, that would have been a much closer to the game because I think their defense wouldn't have been quite so effective.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when they're hitting shots, I think they can beat anyone.
Yeah.
That's a big if. Mo? Mo says no is slowing down, I feel like.
Yeah.
But he's playing good defense. You know, it's the same thing with the steals. You know, the number of blocks is not directly correlated to playing good defense. And you can tell. I mean, when he's there and the press does get broken, it's different than it used to be. It's different when they used to have, like, some guard standing under the basket or Travion Graham standing under the basket. I mean, when he's under the basket and he's the last line of defense, you can just see a difference. You can see the offensive players have to think a little harder, or it's a block shot, or it's a contested shot. So, just maybe it's better that he's not blocking every single shot.
Right.
But, you know, keep. Coach Smart was talking about this, I think, in this John Rothstein interview, and he said, VCU's been playing better, obviously, and the big thing they need to focus on right now is, like, guys 6 through 11 in the rotation,
mm-hmm.
focusing and staying locked into their roles.
Right.
And so I think he's a really good example of that. Like, he needs to stay locked into that role. Who we got left here?
Jaquan,
yeah. Keep focusing on the defense, because that's the only thing. I mean, he's had a great couple of games. I mean, that Virginia Tech game, I think, was maybe one of his best games of his career. He didn't score that many points. But when he locks in on defense, and then he can play alongside Bronte Weber, it's really special.
Yeah, he had 6 assists, 5 steals, only 1 turnover in that Virginia Tech game.
Yeah, and if I think he was sort of the spark that started that run, because before he even played a second, he inbounded the ball to Javonte Redick for that assist, and that was the first score the game.
Yeah.
And then the start of that 31-0 run, and three, I think, of Melvin Johnson's three-pointers in the first half he assisted on. So it's cool. It's cool when they have sort of two ball handlers, two people that can instigate the offense, and two guys that can play defense.
Yeah. Who's up? Terrence Shannon? Did we say, is he the only one left?
Terrence Shannon and Jared Guest.
That's right.
Shannon, I mean, so he had that break, and then I felt like when he came back from that break, he was really struggling to find his role because it had changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, partly because of the emergence of Mo Alie-Cox, and partly because his minutes had been reduced, especially because he was just limited because he missed 5 days. And I think he's found that role, and it's important that he's like a senior leader, and he comes in and like plays defense like he did in that Virginia Tech game. His game starts with defense. That's why he's there. And, you know, it's another thing that Coach Smart has talked a lot about recently, about how, I mean, they can play big and they can play small, which is not something they could do last year. And he's, I mean, him and Jared Guest are, like, you know, two of the guys they use to change that big lineup. So some nights he may only play 5 minutes, but he needs to come in and play good defense. And then for Jared Guest, he's getting better at it. I think it's the ability to make an instant impact. That David Henton thing I've talked about a lot. And he's getting better about it. You know, when you come in and foul two times in your first 60 seconds, that's like the exact opposite of what you want. And now he's coming in, I think in that Virginia Tech game, he got in the game and he immediately like blocked a shot. He just needs to figure out how he can impact the game immediately and in small stretches. So I think that's everyone but the walk-ons.
Yeah, cool.
That was a lot of them.
I wanted to say one thing about Terrence Shannon, too. I looked at our pictures from that game, from the Tech game, and he just looked enthused. He looked excited to be there, which is cool to see because, like you said, his minutes have been reduced. His role has changed.
Especially for a senior, like he transferred to another school.
Yeah.
And he started really strong. I think he had 14 points against Illinois State, and then obviously like other things happened.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. I like that. About a guy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point there, and not knowing him that well, he is. I mean, the first game, I think it was the Illinois State game. I was sitting courtside, and they're doing warm-ups, and I've never talked to him directly before in my life. And he walks over, and he's like, "What's up?" And I was like startled. And he like gave me a big high five. And I had no idea what's going on. I mean, he's kind of jovial, and he's funny, and he's always got like really good, you know, quotes and stuff. So. But it's good to see him recover because there was a point where it was like, man, you know, this could go two ways. He could be upset and be tired and not recover. But I think you're right. I think he has recovered. So you want to talk about Stony Brook? Take it on him?
Yep.
Don't overlook them because the name of the school is Stony Brook.
Yeah.
I know it's easy. They're actually really good. They finished last season 25-8 and won the American East. They're probably going to win it again. And they're like the pride of that league. And I see a lot of similarities to Eastern Kentucky, which should ring a bell. They're not necessarily in terms of forcing turnovers, but they have a really, really athletic backcourt. And so I think this is going to be a really, really good measuring stick of how much they've learned since then. I mean, you know, they want to win this game dominantly.
Yeah, this is what we've been talking. This is that time for them to come out and dominate from start to finish,
mm-hmm. Which is going to be hard because. So this year they're 9-4. They finished last season 25-8, and they've got only one bad loss. The other losses aren't that bad, and they just have that makeup of a team that could really give VCU problems. So they have lots of quick, athletic guards that are great ball handlers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a couple guys who are just knockdown 3-point shooters. They've got a guy who can guard Javonte Redick and score on Javonte Redick. So it's kind of like one of those perfect storms. This is like the really interesting thing back there. So they've got like three seniors, you know. It's one of those games that makes me really nervous. And so they have this guy, Anthony Jackson, who's really good. He's averaging 15 points per game, and he's their point guard. But he went out last season with an injury. So they had another guard that was their point guard for the second half of the season and did a great job. So like they can play them in the backcourt together.
Yeah.
Which could be a pretty good Weapon against Havoc. Because, you know, one of the great things about Havoc is it's not just the turnovers. It's the ability to put the ball into the hands of the secondary ball handler. So like, once you get across half court, you got to like get it back in the hands of your point guard so you can run your sets.
Yep.
You know, it does all these things outside of just forcing turnovers. And when you have two point guards like that,
limits
it. It changes it, yeah. And so then, you know, when they do break the press, they've got three or four guys who are shooting, you know, 35% or better from three-point range.
So what does VCU have to do differently?
Well, I mean, the Boss played defense like in the Boston College game, I think. You know, Anderson really burned them on the inside. He's the only guy for Boston College that had a good game. And I could see that happening with Jameel Warney. He's 6'8", 250. He was the American East Freshman of the Year last year, and this year he's averaging 16 points per game and 9.6 rebounds per game, shooting 66% from the field. So, I mean, he's got the size to match up with anyone in VCU's front court, and clearly an ability to score and rebound. And those are gaudy stats, and it's not like they've played the easiest schedule in the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got all the pieces and the style to give VCU problems.
And it's at home, but it's at a weird time.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 9 p.m. on a Friday when students are theoretically away.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know if a 9 p.m. home game is a chance to like get a little more wild than normal, or if it's a chance to have kind of a docile environment. It's always better when it's loud in there.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think VCU is best. Someone did, Chris Crowley, or someone did sort of a breakdown by time. And I think they're best home in the afternoons. I don't know, those 9 p.m. tips can be rough. And I can think of some rough 9 p.m. games they had. I think that William & Mary one 2 years ago was at 9 p.m. I don't think they played a rough game this year at 9 p.m. They had one last year. It's tough. I mean, that's late.
Yeah.
Especially if there are lots of fouls. You know, a 2.5 hour basketball game.
Yeah,
that's really late. I mean, oh, another 9 p.m. game was the Richmond game last year. They melted down at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Maybe that's just nonsense. But there could be something to it.
Okay. Anything else about Stony Brook? Their mascot is the Sea Wolves.
Yeah. They're good. Don't overlook them. They're a really good team.
Yeah.
And here's another interesting thing about them. So you remember VCU played UMass last year in the A-10 tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And VCU only won by three. VCU was up big. Justin Toyo hit that three-pointer. And then VCU ended up winning by three. And after the game, Coach Smart was like, told Justin Toyo, hey, man, like, if you hadn't hit that shot, might have gone to overtime. We might have lost. And then Toyo transferred. Well, the next game they played was against Stony Brook in the NIT. Stony Brook beat them.
Mm.
And you can think about, I mean, I thought that UMass team was really good last year.
Yeah.
And then they return all their pieces and look at what they're doing this year. So they're definitely very, very capable.
Okay. So a little nervous.
Yeah, trying to strike fear in the hearts of fans.
Right. All right, I have one last thing to talk about.
Okay.
I don't really know anything about this, but VCU women's basketball is currently 12-1.
Right.
They call it Fury.
Fury.
Men's basketball, Havoc. Women's basketball, Fury. They combined for 23 wins, the two men's and women's basketball programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is another thing from Scott Day. I think only UConn, Louisville, and Indiana have more, and that's only with 24. So that's a lot of wins between two basketball programs. And
say those three again.
So it's UConn, Louisville, and Indiana. Their men's and women's basketball teams combined for 24 wins each, and VCU's are 23.
UConn will probably keep that pace up. Indiana won't, because the men's, they play Illinois in 2 hours,
yeah,
and they're about ready to start losing some games. And Louisville, I can't remember what they call it.
Louisville.
They have like sign. They have billboards there when you enter town. And it's like, there's like a billboard in town there where it's like, I can't remember, it's like Louisville. It like spells it out phonetically.
Yeah.
Or Louisville.
I think it's Louisville.
Louisville. I don't know. My dad lived there for 2 years. Maybe I should ask him. But they've had a terrible week. They had to kick Shane Behanon off the team. And
yeah,
then now they're talking about Kevin Ware not coming back. They're going to redshirt Kevin Ware. after they lost to Kentucky, which exposed the fact that they don't have like a real point guard and don't really have any post scoring. So,
so that's a see who can bump
up into second. You know,
that's a stat to keep an eye on.
And I think UConn's schedule probably gets tougher. So, yeah.
So I wanted to say that they have a home game against UMass on the 2nd, which is Thursday, right? Is that the 2nd?
Yeah.
Against UMass at 7 p.m. There's a home game on the 12th and the 15th. So they play an up-tempo style offense. I think I might head out to one. It sounds like it could be pretty fun. So definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter who they're playing. Anytime you win 11 games in a row, that's really impressive.
Yep.
No matter who you're playing. And I wonder, you know, I wonder how much the coach communicates with Marlene Stokes, right? Communicates with Shaka Smart. Because the branding thing, I mean, was like a deliberate thing. Yep. You know, I think the Coach Smart thing, he gave like a speech on this, and it was you get the right people first, then you develop the right internal culture, and then basically like you brand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what he did. It seems kind of like that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and if you look at the visual branding for Fury, it is like a visual descendant of what they have for Havoc. It's cool. Like, it's a cool time to be a part of things, and so I think everyone should go check out the Lady Rams. January 2nd, 7 p.m., UMass.
UMass. Yeah, I'm a little bummed because last year the women's finals was right after the men's finals. That's right. Atlantic 10 tournament, and this year it's in Richmond.
It is.
Uh-huh. It's in Richmond this year, so start following now so you can get ready for March.
Yeah. All right, cool. So go Rams this weekend, and
Happy New Year.
Yeah, have a Happy New Year. Kendrick, have a dream.